Good evening and welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson, and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ in Odessa, Texas. If you happen to be coming to our part of the world, or you're just passing through, we would love to have you come and worship with us. We meet for Bible class on Sunday mornings at 9:30, followed by worship at 10:20, and then again worship at 5 p.m. in the evening. We also have midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock, and we'd be glad for you to come at any of these services and get to meet us, and we'd meet you and worship God together. It may also be that you're in a different part of the world and you're looking for a church home, or you're looking for someone to study the Bible with you, to pray with you. And if we can help you with that, please let us know. Also, if you have any questions about today's program or any of our programs, feel free to contact me at roydw3@aol.com. That's roydw3@aol.com. And we would love to be able to help you any way that we can with growing closer to God. Now, our theme in Take Aim is to focus on going to heaven and being with the Lord, being prepared and ready for the day of judgment. We take our theme from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, where Paul said, "Our aim is to be pleasing in the sight of God, knowing that we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ to answer for the things we've done in our body, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." So we're taking our aim on pleasing God, being ready for the judgment, and helping others to do the same. That's our focus. And so today, we're going to be talking about how we can have a life that's pleasing in the sight of God. Now, we're going to talk about this for a couple of weeks, but the focus here is to have an abundant life. We want to have a life that's productive in the kingdom of God. Now, suppose that I could offer you a life that guaranteed to give you joy. And I mean joy that's greater than any other joy. Blessedness. Blessedness is happiness to the fullest measure. We could also give you assurance, guarantee that you're going to have an everlasting life in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Would you be interested in this? Would you be joyful and blessed and have assurance and peace and live your life abundantly in Christ Jesus? Does that interest you at all? Listen, the truth is, I can't offer you those things, but Jesus does. He gives us each and every one of these things. In order to have these things, we need to follow His plan. But He came to provide us with an abundant life. In John 10 and verse 10, He said, "I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." And so He shares with us the secrets of life through His teaching. In John 15 and verse 11, we're told, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Folks, that's what we're looking for. An abundant life, a joyful life, a blessed life where we have assurance and peace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through the teachings of Jesus, we learn the secrets of the abundant life. And many of these can be found when we are bearing fruit in the kingdom. To think about these things tonight, we're going to be looking at John 15, verses 1 through 8. We're going to talk about the secrets of having a life that bears fruit and puts us in that state of being the abundant life. John 15, 1 through 8, and I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. Here Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, I usually point out when I read this passage that in this context, Jesus said we must bear fruit, we must bear more fruit, and we must bear much fruit. We must be fruit bearers. And there are different ways in which we can be bearers of fruit. Of course, one of the ways that comes to mind right away, especially with the theme for our program, is that we must be soul winners. We want to win souls to Christ Jesus. And once they become a child of God, we want to help them grow. Now, I love what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 1, verses 13 through 16. He says, "Now, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles." I bear fruit. Think about this, among you. How? How was he going to bear fruit? Well, he says in verse 14, "I'm a debtor." You see, he knew that he had a responsibility to pay back, if you will, what he had been given. Now, you could never earn your way to heaven, and he's not implying that, and nor would I. But he says, "I'm a debtor. God saved my soul, and now I have a responsibility to take this message to a lost and dying world." Secondly, in verse 15, he said, "I'm ready to preach. I have a responsibility. I have a goal. I have prepared myself. I know my lesson. I'm ready to deliver the message." Oftentimes today, people say, "Well, I don't know what to say." Well, the solution to that is to get ready. Get ready. You need to study your Bible. You need to be ready to deliver a message. You need to be willing to give an answer to the people that ask you for the reason of the hope that you have within you with meekness and fear, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Now, how do you do that? You study and you prepare. And if somebody asks you a question you don't know, you say, "You know what? That's a great question. Let me do some study on that and I'll come back and we'll talk about it more." But you got to be ready. So I'm a debtor. I owe it to God. I'm ready because I'm prepared. And then in verse 16, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek." I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are we ashamed of the gospel? Are we afraid to speak up in society today? Listen, there's a lot of things in society that are going in a very bad direction for the church. It's going in a very bad direction for the Christian, and I have no doubt that there are going to be people that are suffering persecution because they stand up for what's right. But folks, we cannot be ashamed of the gospel. We have to tell the truth about homosexuality. We have to tell the truth about abortion. We have to tell the truth about living together versus marriage. We have to tell the truth about what constitutes a proper marriage, one man, one woman for life, and that adultery is the only grounds, that fornication that Jesus has allowed for the separation of that marriage, in the sense of the innocent party can put away the guilty and then be free to remarry. We need to tell the truth that they should be married for life. That's God's plan. One man, one woman for life. And that death would separate that marriage, Romans 7, 1 and following. But we need to stand up. We need to tell the truth. We need to be soul winners. But to do that, to bear fruit, I have to be understanding of my responsibility to God and to my neighbor, who needs to hear the gospel. I have to be ready, which means I prepared myself, and I need to not be ashamed of the gospel. So now that I have that in my plan, I need to be willing to preach and teach the gospel, to share what I have learned, to open up the Word of God and declare the kingdom and show them the way to eternal life, and then help those who need that help. In Romans chapter 15, verses 26 through 28, we have a great statement here. It says, "For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain." Do you understand what he said? He said, yes, we preach the gospel. Yes, we help them spiritually. Yes, we help them to be right with God. And now we're helping them with their physical needs. We're helping them. We're bearing fruit to help them have the things that are necessary for life. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, we're told that we should be doing good to all men, but especially to the household of faith. We ought to be bearing fruit in sharing what we have with those who are in need, especially when it comes to our fellow Christians. I'm in the book of Romans here in my Bible. I'm going to turn back to chapter 12. I want you to think about these things. In Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9, it said, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what's evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." These things that he just mentioned are what we're talking about here. Helping those, being kindly affectionate, showing brother love, showing preference, being one who helps those who are in need, distributing to the needs of the saints, showing hospitality. Then it goes on to say, "Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind to one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So those in need includes not only my brethren, and of course, he spent several verses talking about how you help your brethren, but it also includes my enemy. "I do good to all men, especially the household of faith." Galatians 6 and verse 10. I need to help those who have been against me. Feed them, give them something to drink, provide for them, be hospitable, be loving, be kind, be compassionate. Folks, we ought to be a people who share with those who are in need. Next, let's notice this. We need to develop a Christ-like character. Now, we're Christians when we put on Christ in baptism. Christians, we wear His name. We're to be imitators of Christ. So if we're imitators of Christ, we need to live as He would live. We need to do the things that He would do. We need to grow spiritually. Again, I'm going to be looking at the New Testament, and in particular, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Now, here at Parkview, we're going to be studying this section of Scripture in detail on the last weekend of the month, on Saturday and Sunday. And we're going to have several speakers who are going to help us as we learn to grow in these Christian virtues. And I hope you can be here for that. We're going to have sessions on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, at 11 o'clock, and at 1:30. And then we're going to come back on Sunday for our normal worship times at 9:30, 10:20, and 5 o'clock. And what we're going to do is we're going to study these virtues. Now, I want you to think about them as we read them, though, because if we're going to have an abundant life where we're bearing fruit, it involves our Christ-like character. Peter says this, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You will be fruitful in the kingdom if you're growing in these virtues. From your faith, you add virtue and knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If these are part of your character, you're going to have an abundant life. You're going to be Christ-like. You're going to live in such a way that you make an impact in the world. And more than that, you're going to secure your eternal life. In verse 10, it says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You see, you have a great life now, full of Christian virtues. Your character is Christ-like, but also it's going to get you eternal life because of the blood of Jesus Christ that's washed you free from sin, and you've chosen to live in a Christ-like fashion, imitating Him. In the book of Galatians in chapter 5, we have a contrast between the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. Now, we're not going to be a people who want to follow the works of the flesh. That's in verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you also in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." You cannot have an abundant life. You cannot have a life that bears fruit. You won't have joy. You won't have peace. You won't have all those things we've been talking about, because you're going to be lost. You're going to be lost eternally if you're imitating these things. But he says the fruit of the Spirit, in verse 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. What does he say? He says, you bear this fruit. You bear this fruit that shows that you're a child of God. You're going to be loving, joyful, peaceful, long-suffering, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and exercise self-control. These are the things that are going to guide your life as you grow as a Christian. So you're going to be winning souls. You're going to be helping those who are in need. And you're going to have a Christ-like character. Then number four, as we bear fruit, we're going to be praising God. We're going to be giving thanks. Think about this. We ought to be a people who use our lips to bring glory to God. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, we're told, "Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." The sacrifice of God that we offer, the praise to God that we offer, comes from the fruit of our lips as we give thanks. We do that on the Lord's Day by singing songs of praise. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, we learn that we are to sing with our mouth. We use words that encourage and edify one another. We call these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and they teach and admonish. That requires words, and it requires us all singing. It's reciprocal. All of us are singing, and all of us are listening, and all of us are being edified as we bring our praise to God. We're glorifying God as we sing, and we're doing it with grace, with understanding in our hearts. Grace, when it says that in the context of the Scripture, it's talking about gratitude. We're thankful to God for all that he's done. He's given us life, breath, and all things. It's in him that we live, move, and have our being, as Paul would tell those in Athens on Mars Hill. We are thankful for those things, but more than that, we're thankful for the hope of eternal life that we have through Christ Jesus. We're thankful that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We're so thankful that Christ loved us enough that he gave down his life. Folks, we're thankful for what Christ has done. We praise God because of what Jesus did for us. We praise God that we have the hope of eternal life. We praise God for the church which he established for the saved. We praise God for his word, which he gave through revelation to men who were inspired, who recorded it for us so that we could know how to go to heaven, so that we could know how to please him. And so we sing these songs of praise, the fruit of our lips. We also go to God in prayer. Now the Christian ought to be one who prays without ceasing, as Paul would tell the church in Thessalonica. But we ought to be a people who are anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, we let our requests be made known to God, and that peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We're a people that go to God in prayer, coming boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace and help in time of need. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. I mentioned Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and following just a moment ago. Folks, we ought to be a people of prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. The apostles were people of prayer. The early church were people of prayer. And folks, we ought to praise God in our prayer. Not just go requesting what we want, but going to him in thanks and gratitude for all that he has done. If you want to have an abundant life with joy and blessedness and assurance and peace, you got to bear fruit. You got to be one who's winning souls and helping those souls to grow. You need to be sharing with what you have with those who are in need, both in the church and out of the church. You need to be developing a Christ-like character within your own life, where we bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, where we grow in the Christian virtues, and we have put off the works of the flesh. We also will praise God and give thanks in our worship, the fruit of our lips, that sacrifice of praise in both song and prayer, as we read Scripture and study the Bible, as we preach the gospel. And then number 5, these are just some of the fruits that we can bear as we are branches in the true vine. Jesus is the vine. There is no way that we can bear fruit unless we are in the vine. If you have any type of plant in your house, if you have fruit or vegetables in a garden, you already know this. If you were to have a vineyard and you had a grape vineyard, and one of the branches was broken off and laying on the ground, it would not produce fruit. And in fact, any fruit that was on it would wither and dry. And that branch is good for nothing, and as our text says, should be taken and burned. But we are in the vine when we put on Christ in baptism. And as such, we must bear fruit. If you have an orchard for grapes and the branches are not producing fruit, then something is wrong and you're going to take action to help that branch bear fruit. And if it does not, then it will be pruned. Folks, let's think about this. In order to be one who bears fruit and has the abundant life, I must first become a child of God. I must believe that Jesus is the Christ, or I'll die in my sins, John 8 and verse 24. I must repent of my sins, or I will perish, Luke 13, 3. I must confess Him with my mouth, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I must be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38, where the Lord adds me to the church, verse 47, where my sins are washed away, Acts 22, 16, where I am saved, 1 Peter 3, 21, where I put on Christ, Galatians 3, 26 through 29, and so much more. I must be baptized into Christ, where I come in contact with the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1 and verse 5. My sins are taken away, and I'm added to the church. Then I must go forth and bear fruit. Folks, if you need to become a child of God, if you need to bear fruit and you want to be one who is a Christian, wearing the name of Christ, and you haven't done that, listen, let me know. I will help you. If you're in our area, I'll come to you. If you're in another part of the world, I'll find somebody who will come and help you. But you can't put this off. Become a Christian today. My email address is roydw3@aol.com. roydw3@aol.com. Folks, we love you and God loves you, and we want you to become a child of God. And if we can help you in any way, please let us know. Again, let me remind you that at the Parkview Church of Christ, we meet at 1700 Park Boulevard. It's on the corner of Park and West County Road in Odessa. You can't miss us. We'd love to have you come. 9:30 Bible class on Sunday, followed by 10:20 worship, and then 5 p.m. worship in the evening, 7 p.m. worship on Wednesday nights. We'd love to have you come and be a part of us. Now, we appreciate you listening here tonight. And if there's somebody who needs to hear this message or you want to listen again, we want you to know that we rebroadcast this on Friday morning at 7 a.m. So we're on at 7 p.m. on Thursday, 7 a.m. on Friday, and make sure you listen in and share this with your friends. It has been our pleasure to be with you, and we look forward to being back with you next week where we continue to study about bearing fruit. May God bless you. Thank you for listening to Take Aim.